Welcome to the Vetiver Vibes podcast. We're your hosts, Nikki, Rachel, and Rhonda, certified clinical aromatherapists coming to you from Ontario, Canada, and on the internet everywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Accentria, a leading online school for aromatherapy. Accentria is your go-to source for clinical aromatherapy certification programs that are recognized by NAHA and the Canadian Federation of Aromatherapists.
If you want to learn more about aroma massage course, check out their website, www.schoolofaccentria.com. We're excited that you've given your time to be here with us, knowing you'll get the best essential oil scoop. In this week's episode, I had the amazing pleasure of sitting down with Mark Webb. As you will see, he is a wealth of knowledge, and what quickly turned into a simple podcast about CO2s and aromatherapy quickly turned into something way bigger than either of us expected. So we cut out a little bit of that discussion, and this podcast really focuses on aromatherapy used in different modalities and how it can just be used in everyday life. I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, welcome to this episode of Vetiver Vibes. Today, we are very happy to be interviewing Mark Webb on today's episode. Mark is also known as the Aroma Science Guy. He holds a bachelor's degree in science, majoring in biochemistry, plant physiology, and IT. He also has diplomas in aromatherapy, including aromatic and herbal medicine, massage, and I believe Reiki also.
Yeah.
He is the author of Bush Scents, Australian Essential Oils and Aromatic Compounds, which we hope will have a second edition soon, maybe. And Mark is extremely passionate about the aromatic plants of Australia and how they can be better used within the aromatic world. We're very excited to have you here with us today to talk about aromatherapy in general.
Thanks, Nick. That was a lovely intro. Thank you. So who is the Aroma Science Guy? Well, I like pictures that mean 1,000 words. And so as a formulation chemist, aside from I do a lot of work in the aromatic world, but I also do a lot of work in the food and beverage world. I work in extraction technology. I'm also a cosmetic chemist. So I do a lot of work in topical product development, perfumery. It's a wide gamut of stuff outside of the normal aromatherapy area. I'm also an extraction specialist, so I spend a fair bit of time working in the CO2 world and other types of extracts, water-based extracts, herbal extracts, steam distillation, you know, farming and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it keeps me busy. Up until COVID, I was spending a lot of time traveling around the world teaching classes, America, Canada, Malaysia, Singapore, a whole pile of places. So, I love teaching. I love sharing information about the aromatic world. I like sort of enthralling people. And we might just stop here for a second. If we look at the slide and take a look here, there's a couple of ladies that some of you may recognize partaking of a particular delicious beverage that I helped to create, which contains aromatics, amongst other things.
It was so good. Rachel, Rhonda, and I, it was so delicious.
That, for those of you that can't see what we're talking about, it's an energy chai elixir that I made for a company. It's rich in CO2 extracts plus guarana and ginseng, and it gives focus and clarity was the brief, and it certainly does that.
One thing that we just take a couple minutes to touch upon is, as someone who's been in the aromatherapy world for so long, what would you say are some of the top ways to work in the aromatherapy world? Because this is something we often have questions about, is like, what can I do as an aromatherapist? Sure. Like, how can I do this?
Okay. So, and I used to get these questions when I was teaching in Sydney at one of the big colleges too, because, you know, a lot of the colleges are great at getting people on board to do their courses, but then they don't really equip them. Aromatherapy can be an industry in itself, or it can be a passion in itself, but I find aromatherapy, like many of our complementary therapies, works really well with other modalities. So I love aromatics in massage, whether it's lymphatic or relaxation or therapeutic, like topical work. A lot of the work I do is in topical pain relief, analgesia, you know, stimulation and the like. Another area is the neuroendocrine and the cognitive side of the aromatic world. So working with counselors, working with psychologists, dealing with trauma, another huge area. Helping people unscramble their brains and work through their issues is another big area in the aromatic world. So you can be an aromatherapist with being a counselor. It's a perfect match because you can come up with blends to help unlock people's consciousness and help them move through things. You mentioned about Reiki before. Yes, I'm a shaman, Reiki master, scientist. So I walk those different worlds at different times. Look at my Tibetan bowl sitting on the shelf there. And I used to do sound therapy work where I would put bowls on people and do sound tuning to tune their chakras. But I'd also use aromatics to do that. They're brilliant for space clearing. There's nothing better than smudging a house with frankincense CO2 or frankincense resin. Give up sage, it's too toxic. But, you know, frankincense is amazing. Some of the other woods are amazing. So where does aromatherapy fit in? Aromatherapy fits into the massage sector. It fits into cosmetic manufacturing. It fits into herbal medicine. It fits into counseling. It fits into holistic wellness. You can end up doing product ranges. Like I've got therapists that I know that make candles, they make body butters, they make roll-ons, and they make a really good living from making stuff like that and selling it in the bulk phase. You don't have to get into really high-end cosmetics to make money from these things. And the reason that I don't use the term aromatherapy so much anymore. I use the term aromatic therapies to differentiate. And in that aromatic therapies umbrella, I also include food and beverage flavoring work, the use of aromatics in that area. So using them as therapeutic agents in nutraceuticals, things like aromatic honeys. One of my favorite dosing methods for kids and for the elderly is to take some really good high-grade honey, add some aromatics to it, mix it in. Yes, that's aromatic medicine, but you're working at a food flavoring level that still is therapeutic. Yes. So you can get around the regulatory side of things by making it a food. Now, these two drinks that I have here that I showed you before, the turmeric elixir and the energy chai, these are delicious medicines. They have therapeutic properties, but delicious flavor. So, there are ways of reframing what you do. And that's why my view of the aromatic world is so much more broader, because I'm not looking at it just in this little one area. Perfumery is another big area that people can get into, making personal perfumes. And you can layer that with what other modalities. The five element model, the Chinese TCM model, which Gabriel Mauger's done with his system. You can look at using it and Peter Holmes, I have to check his book. Yeah, Peter's been doing this for decades, using aromatics in that modality model. I know acupuncturists that use essential oils in their practices. They fit into so many other healing modalities. And then when you introduce them to doctors and nurses, so big areas in aromatherapy in Australia where clinical aromatherapists work are in aged care, neonatal. So, taking someone who wants to be pregnant, helping them to get pregnant using aromatics to improve their holistic space, getting them through all the nasties of pregnancy, doing their delivery aromatically, like a couple of my kids were born that way, using aromatics and no other pain management along the way. And then the treatment of children, the very young, aromatics fit in so well for that. And then the elderly at the other end of life where they're needing cognitive support, they're needing physical support, dealing with wound care aromatic wound care leaves everything else behind. There is no better way of treating diabetic ulcers and the like. skin infections, skin conditions. So, you know, I know herbalists that make money out of sinusitis. So, you know, you could set yourself up as an aromatic specialist that made blends to treat respiratory illnesses.
Yeah.
And you sell them online. You know, there's a model that works. You specialize in a certain area of treatment and you make the medicines and you sell the medicines accordingly.
Yeah. Finding that niche is so important.
The niche is really important. And that's why when I teach, I use this much broader model to look at and say, well, if you want to do relaxation, Michelin RCA massage, or you just want to take Swedish massage and add aromatics to it, it's the same. You know, the Michelin RCA technique was a cobbled together thing of different bits and pieces to make this uniquely different aromatic massage. I've always used aromatics in massage when I've been a practitioner. Sciatic relief, for instance, you can spend half an hour trying to release someone's glutes to get to their sciatic pain, or you can put a couple of drops of Kunzea oil, this plant here, on the sciatic, rub it in, leave it for 2 minutes, do all your releases, done, move on. I'm a lazy massage therapist. I like to work smarter, not harder. So that's a big area as well. You know, I'm spending a lot of time in the gym, and I've found a lot of people there that have got, sprains, strains, tears. One of the teachers, she tore her calf, and I made up some aromatic pain relief for her. I gave her a topical for that, and she was gobsmacked that she recovered 3 weeks quicker. The physio was like, "You're already better. What did you do?" And it was just by using aromatics to help reduce the inflammation, to help improve the pain management so she could do the necessary stretches, but also it stimulated the metabolism locally to move things out and improve tissue healing. Absolutely. So, you know, I see lots and lots of opportunities, and it's really, you know, I've even used CO2 extracts and essential oils to flavor kombuchas, you know.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, so I used to make kombucha because I'm a tea nut, as you can see with my tea bowls.
Yes.
But I've done kombucha with matcha. I've also done kombucha with sencha, green teas, and that gives you a much lighter liqueur. And then I've done secondary ferments to flavor them. So I put lemon myrtle into kombucha, and it is gorgeous as a drink, and make a concentrate kombucha that can then be diluted in soda water. So, you know, the flavoring potential is huge. We don't normally look at food flavoring or beverage flavoring in the aromatic world, in the the aromatherapy world.
Yeah.
But it's there. It's part of it. Everything you eat and drink that has flavor is essential oils or aromatics in one form or another. There's a much bigger range of aromatics available today. People shouldn't be frightened. Like the folded citrus, for instance, are amazing. The deterpenated citrus, some of the deterpenated oils. When you look at Gadafoss, when you look at his text, which I'm reaching up to here to pull it out of the shelf.
they're all there at your fingertips.
They are. So Rene Gadafoss was a perfumery chemist. Okay. That's where he came from. And if I find the chapter, I want to just show you this because this is hilarious. Anyway, I'm not going to, but you can look it up. He has a whole chapter on deterpenated essential oils.
Oh, nice.
He raved about them being more therapeutic than extracted oils, because they had all these other terpenes in there which were toxic and difficult to work with, because he was talking about internal medicines, and terpenes are often irritating to the digestive system. And so by removing them, you actually get a more appropriate internal dosing method. Under the British Pharmacopoeia and European Pharmacopoeia standards for essential oils, topped and tailed essential oils that have had the terpenes stripped, had the sesquiterpenes removed, are still essential oils. So, you know, if someone says to you, "Oh, you know, you can't use a folded citrus oil, you can't use a deterpenated peppermint oil because they're not real essential oils. They are. You know, there's too much of this nonsensical touchy-feeliness about aromatherapy in a lot of places where they go, they're speaking from a lack of knowledge and science, and it drives me crazy sometimes. But awesome. They're all there. They all have uses. So, has that sort of answered that question?
More than enough. there's so much. And then the last question is, and this is something that we always ask everyone, is what is your favorite aroma or oil?
I'll answer that with a simple statement. I am Western Australian sandalwood.
Okay. I wasn't sure what you were going to go with. I wasn't sure maybe a kunzi or sandalwood. Nice.
Look at sandalwood. Look at Australian sandalwood. Look at its chemistry. Look at its spiritual, psychological, physical properties. Absolutely. It's way more complicated than the Indian sandalwood. The climate that it, the temperature ranges that it grows under, from -5 degrees Celsius to +60 degrees Celsius. Right? Tenacious. It's grounding. It's spiritual. It's base chakra to crown chakra aligned. I am sandalwood.
Nice. I love it. Thank you so much for all this information. You are always such a wealth of knowledge. We appreciate your time. And thank you to everyone for tuning in to Vetiver Vibes, the Essential Oil Scoop. I'm Nikki Fraser here with Mark Webb, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
See you later.
This episode was brought to you by Essentria, a leading online aromatherapy school. You can join the free Introduction to Essential Oil course at www.schoolofessentria.com.
If you love this episode or you got a lot of value out of it, please make sure you share it with someone in your community who you think will enjoy it too. If you haven't already subscribed or reviewed the show yet, please go over to your preferred streaming platform and hit subscribe, then leave a review. This is the best way to help support us, and we appreciate it. Email us with a screenshot of your review, and you will be entered into our monthly draw for a free mini course.
This podcast is for information purposes only. We are certified clinical aromatherapists and holistic health professionals. If you have a medication concern, please refer to your health team. Everyone's health is unique to themselves, so the topics and suggestions stated may or may not apply to you directly.